Some people say God is not a personal, emotional God. He created us and then he just watches without being involved. Do we see him as just being just a being that takes little notice in what we do? I'm going to go over six things that the scripture shows us about our God and that he is not detached from what we do. Number one, God feels jealousy. He will not share his glory with gods made up in the minds of men. This is what God said to Ezekiel about those who go after other faiths and not found in the Bible. If you'd like, turn to Ezekiel 6:9. Ezekiel 6:9. Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me, and by their eyes, which play the harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed in all their abominations. He was crushed by their adulterous heart. The word translated as crushed, according to Strong's, means broken in pieces. Someone finds out their spouse is cheating on them. They might be broken in pieces over that. If you spend a lot of time on a project at work and someone else takes the credit, that could be a crushing blow. No doubt many of the pagan gods come about because of Satan, who's trying to steal the glory and worship of God. God has given us his holy days and he wants to be worshiped, but most proclaiming Christians have not chosen different days. How would you feel if your spouse insisted on celebrating your birthday on your former, on a former birthday's relationship? When people argue in favor of celebrating Christmas, most will say it does not matter because it is in honor of Christ. Even if you tell them it is a day worshiped for thousands of years as the date of the birth of a pagan god, they will still defend it. Instead of Passover, they have substituted Easter and even keep the pagan fertility rituals associated with it, but tell themselves it does not matter as long as they do it in worship of God. Professing Christians today know nothing of the days that God said to worship him. If they have heard of them, they will tell you that it was only for the Jews. Instead, they have adopted a religion that has a combination of true religion, outright paganism, and Greek philosophic views on where people go when they die. Ancient Israel had a syncretized religion too. They give lip service to God while sacrificing to their pagan gods. One of the last kings of Israel even went so far as sacrificing his firstborn son to a pagan god, but they still worshiped in Solomon's temple. This eventually led to the glory of God leaving the temple and its destruction by fire. Number two, God feels mercy. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. God had great mercy for Nineveh when they repented and turned from their wickedness. He is the same today when someone repents from their past and turns to God. The third point, God feels anger. If you'll Turn with me to Ezekiel 8. We'll read verses 9 through 18. Ezekiel 8, verse 9. And he said to me, "Go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there." So I went and I saw, and there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. And in their midst stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the room of his idols? For they say, 'The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land.'" Verse 13. And he said to me, "Turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing." So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house. And to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Then he said to me, "Have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you will see greater abominations than these." So he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun toward the east. And he said to me, "Have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence. Then they have returned to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose." In verse 18, "Therefore, I will act in fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them." The fourth one, God feels empathy. If we go to John 11:33, read down to 35. John 11:33. "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' And they said to him, 'Lord, come and see.'" Verse 35, "Jesus wept." He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he felt deeply for those who were mourning. Luke 19:41. "Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for you peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side.'" In verse 44, "And level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave you in one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Then the fifth one, God feels zeal. John 2 and verse 13. "Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem." Verse 14. "And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, 'Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise.' Then his disciples returned who remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." Now the sixth one. He is a discerner of the heart. Some people are very good at appearing pious to those around them. Many have been referred to as men of God, will be separated from the sheep when the time comes. Who can fool men? You can fool men, but you cannot gaslight God. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" Verse 23, and I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Jesus was very clear about this to the Pharisees. In Matthew 23:13, Matthew 23:13, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Verse 15, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." And skipping down to verse 27, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." And verse 28, "Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." We are created in the image and likeness of God, and He gives us our emotions. Our emotions are often a distortion of the pure emotion of God, but He is not way off and unconcerned for his creation. He knew from the beginning that he had set before us life and death and encourage us to choose life. He is affected by our choices just as we are affected by the choices our children might make. All the heavenly creation and Father as well as the Son rejoice when someone repents and turns their life around, but are also emotional when we choose the way that leads to destruction. This week, everyone in the country and really a lot of people around the world had a lot of emotion when Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Most were saddened and angry, which is a normal, natural emotion. But unfortunately, there was plenty who were happy and celebrating this. I really don't know what to say to that. It's pretty disgusting, but that's just the emotions that humans have, and some are righteous and some are not. We are now close to entering the fall holy days, the picture, the plan of God. We show God honor by acting out year to year His plan of salvation. The days that most professing Christians keep are centered on self and getting, but God's days are forward-looking and focused on the redemption of all who had ever lived.